This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
This is Brian Howell, Buffs Insider for BuffBlitz.com for the On3 Network, and you're listening to The Hole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
19 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into The Hole Show. Joining me now to talk some Colorado Rockies. He is our Rockies insider, Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. Spencer, that game could have gone maybe differently. That was a rough go, and even more so with Nolan Arenado hitting his eighth career grand slam against his old team.
When you asked about which game went rough, I was trying to think of the last week and the amount of games that you were trying to zero in on. But yes, last night was a quick trigger on the this is going on the smaller non-important TV for the rest of my viewing evening.
It's been a rough go. After that Kansas City series sweep. Since then, man, I mean, we've had one win against, was it St. Louis? And so it's just been some exciting games, some interesting games, but last night was certainly not one of those.
No, and it's this last week, since the Kansas City sweep, once the Rays came in and they blew the Tuesday game against the Rays, which, you know, not to hate on Jordan Romano, but his first blown save as a Rockies closer, he's actually been decent in that role after having a 10-plus ERA with the Angels earlier this year. But, yeah, the last week, other than that Saturday Cardinals game where Jake McCarthy went off and ends up winning National League Player of the Week, it's been very 2025 Rockies this last 10 days or so, and it's not fun to watch.
What do you point to? Is it guys kind of getting complacent after the trade deadline? What makes some sense of what's happening here in this last week or so?
It's kind of been a trend all year, and they can't mask it right now. They just can't pitch, man. And they've allowed a first inning run in like six or seven straight games, or six of the last seven. I mean, when you start the game right off behind the eight ball, whether it's, you know, you're a home team and it's the top of the first, or you don't score in the top of the first and then you allow a run in the bottom of the first, or you score a run like they did a couple times in St. Louis, and then you just come back and you can't get a 1-2-3 inning and can't get out of it. And a little bit more, you know, on the pitching, their walks have been up the last week or so. And then the defense is just not good. They're just misplaying balls. You know, last night it ended up not technically hurting them, but they had Jordan Beck misplayed the ball in right field, which led to a triple for Gabby Moreno instead of a double. And then the next pitch was a wild pitch, which luckily ended up hitting Ketel Marte's foot. So it ended up being, you know, not allowing a run to score off of basically an error, two back-to-back errors, rather. And then, you know, you give up another walk and then a grand slam to Nolan Arenado. It's like it's just messy. That's the best way I can describe it right now. Every time they take the field, you're once a week you're going to get a game where you're like, wow, this is fun. But once or twice a week is about as much as you're getting right now. And I was really confident in my 63 wins, and now it's gonna come down to the wire. I think they got to finish 17-27, which is better than they've played most of the year. You can't win one of every three anymore. They do have a 10-game homestand in September, but they're only playing three teams that are really firmly out of the playoff race the rest of the way out. So it's gonna be tough sledding.
It's gonna be a push to get there. Even if they don't, it'll be interesting kind of how you assess the season if they do just completely spiral out of control the rest of the way. Let's say they do. Let's say they go on and it's you know, the record is very similar to last year. It's already going to be better than it was last year, and that's good. But if it's similar, how do you think you would assess this team? Do you still think, man, you take a lot of the positives before the trade deadline? Or how would you view that?
You know, if they finish with like 53 wins or 55 wins, I mean, that's still a 10 to 12 win improvement over last year. So you got to take a little positivity in that, plus the offense and where it's been and the lineup. You know, last year was just a mix of bad pitching and bad hitting. They were low, you know, bottom five in the MLB in almost every important statistical category. This year, the hitting and the offense has been up. I think the defense is something that you look at and figure out, how do we get better defensively? And then, you know, the pitching is what it is. Yeah, we'll see what they do in the offseason. But I really think looking back on this year, and I think if the Rockies continue to spiral and don't play well in September, they can kind of save face by calling up guys like Zach Veen and Charlie Condon and playing them in September, because it's at least a peek into the future, or, you know, some guys that you think may be part of the future of the Rockies franchise getting some reps, you know, getting some ABs, playing at with the big club. I think they can kind of save the season, if you will, or save face with the fans a little bit if those couple of guys get called up from AAA. And then, you know, while his start last night was rough, Gabriel Hughes had some bad luck and just hasn't been able to win. But he's been one of your more quality starters. So seeing four or five more starts out of him, seeing if Ryan Feltner can kind of clean up this middle of the year slump he's in, you know, a few guys that you know could be part of your rotation going into next year. I feel like this season was all experimental, and it's been more than positive with the amount, you know, winning more games already than they had all of last year, of course. But I think a little bit more experimental going forward. We're going to see Connor Norby now, who was traded from the Miami Marlins. Tyler Freeman went on the injured list. So we're going to see Connor Norby in just another case of the Di Podesta plan of, hey, we're going to snag a guy that's not really coveted, not really having a good season, and see if what we're doing here can, you know, a change of scenery can fix him. So there's some things to look out for player to player wise. And of course, the overall win loss record, trying to get to 63 wins will be something to watch. But I think the growth and the call ups of a few minor leaguers that are kind of knocking down the door will really help ease the pain of all the losses in September.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. How important is that, like you said, for the Rockies, that number, you know, 63? How important is that, or is this at this stage more about, like you said, the Connor Norbys, the experiments, let's just get a little weird here to finish out the season? Is that more about what the Rockies care about, knowing that this season was about, I mean, really, let's see where we are at the All-Star break, and if we're improved, great, but we're not going to make the playoffs, anything like that, so let's just get a little weird with it and not necessarily pay attention to that number, that win-loss number.
Yeah, you know, I think there's a few select people in the front office / organization that think 63 wins is very important. I would imagine that if they get there, that is a huge step in the right direction for them. I don't think maybe Paul Di Podesta and Josh Burns, guys who are new to the Rockies organization, I guess everybody other than, you know, the Monforts and a few other people are pretty much new. I think anybody that's new sees the growth and can really not compartmentalize whether they win 63 games or not. But I do think whether they're never going to say it, but I think not losing 100 games this year would be a big win for the overall outlook of the organization from some of the higher front office members.
Yeah, it's kind of a mental thing too. Spencer, outside, well, first off, let me go back to this game. What are your feelings like when you see Nolan Arenado now? Because there are some Rockies fans that will tell you, I can't root for that guy, can't stand it, especially if he's semi-successful against the Rockies. There are other Rockies fans that really miss the dude, sometimes kind of wish he was back here. Where do you fall in the Nolan Arenado situation?
I don't like the guy. I'm salty. I've always been a salty fan when it comes to those guys, the Carmelo Anthonys, the Nolan Arenados, the Andre Iguodala to some extent, just the guys that don't like it here and make it vocal and make their way out. And then, you know, I've kind of cooled off on Nolan a bit over the past couple of years because he wanted to go to a winner so bad in the Cardinals and he was so happy about it. And then he never went to a playoff game with them in like 7 years. So that part of it is like, okay, dude, whatever, you know, you could have played in just as many playoff games with the Rockies as you could the Cardinals. So I'm a little salty. I know the guy's going to be pretty much a first ballot or close to a Hall of Famer. But yeah, it definitely made the, I wish Ketel Marte or any Ryan Waldschmidt, anybody would have hit a home run last night rather than him in the first inning.
Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rocky. Spencer, what are you hearing more on the lockout situation as far as any kind of news you're grasping, any kind of good news out there on that front?
I don't think there's any good news right now. I think the only thing we're really hearing is that the sides are very far apart and that, you know, which is generally what you expect in a big negotiation like this. I think they're hoping that they can save half of the season next year. I think if baseball starts in June next year, that's probably a win the way it looks right now. But I just think It's a very weird situation. And kind of like we talked about, I think, last week, it's a very weird CBA negotiation where most of the fans outside of, you know, LA and those fans span over the whole country, but there's outside of two or three fan bases, I think a lot of people outside the MLB and inside the MLB want the same thing, which is not usually the case. Usually a lot of people are like, all right, we want what the players want. The players deserve more. And I think that the fan bases in general are like, well, this is just becoming ridiculous. And especially, you know, the Tarik Skubal trade at the deadline that he then goes to the Dodgers, who are the best team in the league. You know, they lost seven in a row just the last couple of days, which has been fun to watch. But everybody knows how good they are, and everybody knows you can pretty much pencil them in. As fun as the Brewers team every single year, they'll get to October and choke it down. That's just how it goes. And you know the Dodgers are going to represent the National League in the World Series again, and then you just hope that maybe an American League team, unless you're an anti-Yankees or anti-Red Sox person, can dethrone them, if you will, and not let them go back-to-back-to-back. But I think the culmination of the Dodgers winning the World Series this year and going back-to-back-to-back with what they've done in terms of the signing of players and the deferring of contracts, it'll kind of, it's kind of like the last firework finale before you shut down the show for a while. And I think while it won't be fun and it'll be, you know, a talking point all off season until everything halts, supposedly December 1st, I think it's just going to be what it is. And you're just like, well, you know, something's got to change here, even though, you know, the baseball does have a lot of parity. I think just the Dodgers winning three in a row and how they're doing it and how they're going about it and what they have and the sweetheart deals they have with the TV and the former bankruptcy, I think people are just over it and it's time for a big change.
Spencer, if for some crazy, in some crazy world, the Dodgers don't win the World Series or don't even make it to the World Series, how does that do anything? Does that mess with any kind of these negotiations going forward?
I think it definitely changes the fan perspective. I think the fans, I think everybody that's not a Dodgers fan will be cheering against the Dodgers no matter who they're rooting for in the MLB playoffs, whether it's the Cubs or the Brewers or the Diamondbacks or the Phillies. You know, I'm going to be rooting for all those teams, and I think a lot of America will as well. But I think we're too far past the point now of anybody that means something to these negotiations changing their stance. You know, I think they've seen enough, and whether or not that does culminate in a World Series or not, I think it's beyond repair at this point. I think both sides have their stance. Both sides have an idea of where these negotiations should go and what they should look like. And I don't think that's changing whether or not they do or don't win the World Series. And I almost think it's going to be a bigger battle if they don't, because all those Dodger fans will, and Dodger, you know, people will be like, well, look, we didn't win it a third time in a row. This doesn't need to change, blah, blah, blah. So I think anybody that matters in the vote or has a side on this that actually counts, they've already made up their mind at this point.
Yeah, interesting stuff from you, man. What do you have cooking for us at DNVR Rockies in the next day or two?
We've got our live YouTube show on Friday at 10 a.m. And then next week we'll be at the ballpark. We do once a month. We do a Friday afternoon rooftop club. So some of us from DNVR go to the rooftop, just hang out, watch the game, do some content. So that's what we got coming up here in the next couple weeks. Obviously, this football season, I think right around the corner, if you will, the Rockies will take a bit of a backseat. Coors Field won't be quite as full most of these weekends. But yeah, we got some fun storylines still for the rest of the year. You know, I've got my over 52.5 win bet, which I hope cashes. I'm getting a little nervous the way they're playing now, but that should cash. So I'm kind of watching for that. And then just, you know, waiting for that September call-up scenario where the rosters expand. I think there's a few guys very deserving of it from the AAA level, namely Zach Veen. And kind of, are they going to give him one more shot, or what does the organization think of some of these guys? And Mason Adams, who's the AAA pitcher right now that they traded for from Chicago, he should get a few starts in September as well and look to potentially be part of the 2026 rotation. So we're watching out for a few just storylines here, and then we'll kind of hop into, you know, October baseball. They announced the World Series schedule. The Game 7 is going to be on Halloween, so that'll be kind of fun. And then, you know, who knows when we'll see another baseball game after October 31st if the World Series makes it to 7.
Yeah, kind of drink it in while we can here, because who knows what's next after after this year's World Series. Spencer, always appreciate your insight, my friend, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Thanks so much, Brady. We'll talk to you then.
It's kind of, we haven't spent a lot of time on it, Mike, but it is a really, it's hard to sit and watch baseball. And I felt the same way in any sport I'm watching, where you're just hearing that the next season, the next off season is just going to be flooded with, you know, lockout talk. And that's where baseball is at this point. And according to Spencer and according to many Major League Baseball insiders, they're very far away. And if the hope on August 11th is that they are hoping to get to the point where they can maybe do half of a season next year, that means you've all but canceled the first half. The first half is gone. Like, that's not happening. And so they're just trying to see if they can get any closer to where they can have at least a second half of the season. So it'll be very much like the COVID year, where we didn't start playing baseball until July, I believe.
That would be very interesting, because what are you going to talk about in the summer when there's no baseball?
Well, luckily, we talk about a little bit of everything, Michael, if you've listened to the whole show for the past however many years, so there's plenty to talk about. You would think you would know that, being part of the show here. But you know, it never dies, man. There's always topics. There's always great. I mean, this summer, we have been flooded with NCAA talks, and that's not going to change next summer. That will not change at all. Plus, you'll have all of the football stories kind of throughout the off-season chatter and things like that. And I'm sure we'll have to hear about your favorite Star Trek toy or something at some point next year.
I do have some good news, though. If a strike happens or a lockout, the Rockies will probably not lose 100 games.
Probably not. Probably not. 36 minutes after the hour, a surprise appearance for a running back that many media outlets called, use the I word, injured. We'll get to that coming up next. 36 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.